Welcome to the Canvas Rebel podcast, where we believe your story matters. Your viewpoint and your insights matter. In our view, there is far too much coverage of the trends that ivory tower professors and billionaire fund managers are seeing. What's the edge in hearing the billionaire consensus view over and over again? The edge comes from hearing new perspectives and new information, like from the wedding planner who's worked with hundreds of couples during the pandemic and has noticed that new couples are allocating significantly more of their wedding budgets on small details like personalized neon signs, or hearing from an accountant who's seeing how there is a huge uptick in e-commerce clients generating revenue from in-person pop-ups. Those sorts of insights are what Canvas Rebel is all about. And today, Madison is chatting with some of our content partners about trends and lessons learned. Content partners help us in so many ways, from sponsoring our mission to spreading the word about the work that we do and collaborating with us on content like this. And so with no further ado, here's Madison with today's panel.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Madison. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of our Canvas Rebel podcast, talking about mental health, mindfulness, and living your best life. I have four very talented, very knowledgeable entrepreneurs here with me today who have a lot of wisdom to share with our audience. And I'm just so excited to have you all here. Thank you for joining me. I'd love to get started with some introductions.
Well, my name is Cheryl. I am based in St. Louis, Missouri. I am a holistic wellness coach, a Reiki master, yoga instructor. I own Expressions for You Yoga, and I'm excited to be here. So thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm Caleb Davison, an owner and operator of Verde Massage in Camp Verde, Arizona. I primarily work on educating other therapists on, you know, how to treat different cases and working on expanding that. So
awesome.
My name is Holly and I'm based in New Orleans, and I'm an interior decorator who wrote a self-help and sage advice book in 2020 called Quit Playing Yourself.
Right on.
Greetings and blessings, everyone. This is Aaron Abelman. I am a best-selling author, United Nations award-winning artist, passionate mental health advocate, and also just love the power of intersectionality. So seeing the possibility for how businesses and organizations can more positively connect to, you know, building a more holistic world.
Awesome. Well, I'd love to start off by asking, what does the phrase living your best life mean for you individually? And whoever wants to go first, feel free to jump right in.
I think it means living life on your own terms, like, you know, doing what you want to do for work, just being true to yourself and being intentional in your choices in general.
Yeah, I can resonate with that. I love that living your best life has become a meme, and that that's even a possibility, that even able to, we're able to think about what that means is the first step. And I think also, I guess my perspective is that humans often lack, or maybe to use a term, that we have an intention deficit disorder. So we're sometimes lacking a vision for what is the best that would be most fulfilling for us. And so to be able to, you know, obviously hold that vision and then work toward it, that to me is personal to each one of us ultimately. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we all can ask that authentically and live into it.
Yeah, I kind of resonate with what Aaron said there a little bit about, you know, having a vision is really important for living your best life, right? Because we're living every day, right? And everybody's living their life day by day. But if you don't have something in mind, a direction that you're going, then you don't really know what you're living for. And because day by day, I mean, things change. You know, you could win the lottery today and, you know, get diagnosed with cancer the next day. And if you don't have at least a vision of where you're directing, you know, where you're headed, then, you know, where are you pointing yourself? I think that's important. And then I think there needs to be some kind of a transcendent vision too, you know, something beyond yourself. Because, you know, if I have a vision that I want to, you know, have a big successful practice 20 years down the road, and I do get that, you know, cancer diagnosis, you know, there's still a transcendent hope beyond myself. And when you get that, it's like, well, it's not the end of this vision, you know.
So for me, and I agree with everyone, but for me personally, living your best life represents for me personally is having options and opportunities, being able to curate the path that you desire, having that freedom to do what you want to do on your terms and not having to live by, you know, someone else's terms. So that's how I vision a
theme. Absolutely. Or someone else's timeline too. We talked about that earlier this morning. My timeline is not your timeline, and that's totally okay. I have the freedom to decide that. But yeah, I'd love to know, you're also wise, and I'm like taking notes in my head of like, oh, I need to write what you said down. That's very wise. How can we reach our fullest potential, and how can our audience reach their fullest potential in 2024? What does that look like for you?
That's a big question. And and as somebody that's been a student of the human potential movement, which actually is it's a fascinating question of what is the human potential, even, you know, is there such a thing?
Yeah.
You know, each one of us comes with such a unique story and unique journey, and even to see how different societies express the human potential, different chapters in human history. You know, there's so many different ways of looking at what the human potential for me means. I think a lot about the notion that, and I don't know if this is actually scientifically true, but I've heard a lot of people say that we only use 10% of our brain, right? Like that we have this vast potential, and yet we're only using a small portion of our neurology.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's been debunked. It probably has. Because I think that for me, and maybe I'll just go more personal with this based on what I just shared, is the times when I felt like I've really actually lived, like when I'm going to sleep at night and I look back on the day, I was, wow, how did I do that? Or that was amazing. Or I did something extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
I think often it was, I was willing to take a big risk.
Yep.
I think I was willing to actually, and part of that is like the courage to face my fears and actually overcome them or somehow transcend my fear. And then I think the second part is just that it was like something so meaningful and joyful and amazing as well. You know, whether I was like just had a great interaction with a child and one of my, you know, I used to be a teacher in schools, and something amazing happened between me and a kid, you know, even something as simple as that, where maybe he was acting up. I remember I had this one kid who was like throwing hot tamales at other kids, all like just constantly getting in trouble. And we had a real transformation at one point throughout the year where I felt like I was able to connect with him. And that to me was like, that was my human potential in that moment. So that's a lot to reflect on.
I agree with that too. There's just us, you know, living to our personal potential is very important. And, you know, like with the first question of, you know, how do I live my best life? You know, when you ask yourself that, you got to examine yourself and, you know, and ask, am I actually living to my fullest potential in this moment? And if you have those goals and those visions, you know, you can actually work to that and you know, but I also think there's something about, you know, us working together and understand that, you know, as an individual, we're, you know, it's like one strand, you know, but if we come together as a group, you know, it's like adding strands and you become a tough rope, you know, and we might only be able to use 10% of our brain at any given time, but as together, you know, there's people who, you know great things about this subject and we know about the other. And if we come together, we can learn from each other and live with our potential together. So
well said.
Yeah.
So for me, I would say figuring out what it is that you like, what brings you joy in life, like what sets your soul on fire, and then saying no to anything else that doesn't satisfy your that craving, you know, for your creativity.
I like that idea too. You know, just also you got to watch what takes away from that, because there are things that will rob you of your potential too. So good point.
Yeah, I agree with Sherelle. It's just so individual. And, you know, I think it starts with just being authentic. And as discussed earlier, like going, not operating on someone else's terms or timeline and deciding what it is that you want. Like, what do you individually want for yourself? Not, you know, what do your parents want? What does society want? And just living true to that.
Definitely. How do you each stay inspired with your specific craft and the work that you do while dealing with burnout?
Me personally, I try to find new ways to be creative. I'm actually dealing with that right now, but because I have so many different aspects of my business that I can work, I have so many different aspects of the business that I can work, so I can easily cut something off for a time being and focus on something else. But then I also can recognize that because I am like intuitive and I know myself, I know my body, and I know my limits. So I can either get me an accountability partner or a mentor, or somebody to keep me on track. Or I just also recognize that, okay, I've done too much. I'm at my capacity. It's time to take a break. Shut everything down. And, you know, it'll still be there in 2 days when you take your little break. So,
Yeah, taking breaks are key. I think staying inspired. You know, I have a few different businesses that I run. Like I also do, in addition to decorating and writing the book, I also do furniture flipping and professional organizing.
Wow.
So I just try to, like, if, you know, I'm not feeling it with one of those jobs, just staying inspired with something, like always just having a new goal, you know, because oftentimes I was just talking to my brother about this the other day. You know, once you reach a big goal, sometimes you don't know what to do from there. It's kind of like, okay, where do I go from here? But yeah, I think it's just continually staying inspired.
Yeah, I love both of those answers. And I really agree with this power of inspiration that, and you know, it's not always that you're able to, you know, just follow your bliss or some kind of, you know, t-shirt meme, you know, or whatever. But I think it's very important to ask yourself at the end of each day, especially if you're in an ebb, or you're in a, you know, a point of exhaustion, or where you're struggling with how to move forward in those more shadow moments and in those challenging moments. I think, you know, really going within, whatever that means for you. Sometimes for me, it's just taking long walks or going on hikes or connecting to nature. Or surfing, or I don't know, everybody's got something that somehow fuels and brings something into perspective. I call them practices. So going within and, you know, tuning in with the body and with something that can, I guess, just reconnect you to your purpose and hopefully out of that, you know, you can find the answer.
For me to kind of deal with burnout issues is I kind of try to balance my life into like three categories of, you know, you got work, you got play, and then you got rest. And sometimes the rest one is the one that I had the biggest trouble with, because it was like, it was either I was working or I was playing, but either way it was hard work. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was never giving myself time to just let go and relax. And that could be mentally, that could be physically. I mean, there, you know, it could be spiritually. You really have to, you know, examine your life and how you're feeling. And it's like, what do I need today? And, you know, sometimes you need to work to get that issue off of you. You know, maybe you got pile of taxes sitting there and they're stressing you out. You need to get those done, but maybe you've been working 7 days a week and it's time that you just, you know, stay in bed and watch Netflix, you know, or go out in nature. You know, one of the things that I have done a lot that is incredibly powerful. If I'm getting really anxious, I would just go and watch the sunset, and it's pretty amazing how you can just for a moment, like you just watch something beautiful that's happens every single day and it's on display for you to check out. And And if you just stop and watch it for a second, it's hard to be anxious about, you know, Facebook posts or, you know, whatever when you're looking at something like that. So, yeah. I mean, that's just a small piece of it. But and then there's a million things you can do that is work or play or or rest related. You just have to figure out the kind of things that bring you joy and bring you peace in your life. So
definitely. How do you all practice mindfulness in your day-to-day life?
Well, I have a pretty steady breathing practice that helps me. You know, I set an alarm on my phone so that once an hour I just stop for 3 minutes, no matter what's going on, and I just that's one thing that sometimes it's hard. It's like there's 12 things going on, and you know, my kid is even screaming. But actually, weirdly, now she'll come and join me and sit, you know, and we'll just like quiet ourselves together, you know. And yeah, but that, I guess that's more of like a practice that I've developed. I know that mindfulness is also just an approach to how I see things. I try my best to not take myself too seriously.
Yep.
And just to, you know, take with a grain of salt the things that I disagree with, or so that's another tactic.
I love the idea of setting an alarm. I never thought to do that. I always say, oh, I'm gonna be really intentional, and oh, I'm gonna, you know, do my meditation, and then I get so caught up and in the moment. Setting an alarm is a perfect reminder. Pencil that in the schedule.
Thumbs up.
So Aaron and I think a couple other people mentioned earlier taking walks, and that's something that I think just helps with creativity and just clearing your mind. Oftentimes, whether it's a design project or like just taking pictures of architecture and nature, whatever, that's where I find some of my biggest inspiration. Mm-hmm. I also listen, like I have a meditation app called the Daily Calm that I listen to, and they have like different lessons. They even have like sleep stories and music. So that's been huge for me. And I think too, you know, I used to think I had control over a lot more things than I actually have control over. So I think just like relinquishing that and just like, you know, enjoying the magic of the universe, synchronicities, and just letting it surprise you.
Yeah, that's so good.
I like that, Holly. Yeah. So I'll piggyback off of Holly with the just non-attachment, basically not being attached to anything, not being attached to the outcomes. So me personally, I start my day with mindfulness. I wake up 4:35, between 4:30 and 5 o'clock in the morning, and I just sit in solitude. And then throughout the day, if I can find time to, like if I'm at work in my 9 to 5, I sit in my car on my lunch break and just take time for myself, quiet, nobody's around, windows up, like no music playing, just sitting in complete solitude. And then by the end of the night, I'm journaling, you know, expressing like my gratitude for the day, going over like, how did I react today? So,
that's great. That's something I'm wondering if this is like a sign, because you're not the first person that has talked about sitting in solitude and not having a screen or a distraction or anything. And I am so uncomfortable with that. I need to challenge myself to get comfortable in that time of solitude, because I think it will work wonders for my mental health, my mindfulness, my approach to creativity. But it's kind of scary, like being in solitude like that. I'm not going to lie. I don't like to be quiet and alone with my thoughts too much.
Then that's when a journaling comes in.
Yes.
Write it down.
Yep. You're right.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people are uncomfortable in being with themselves, you know, which is, I think, a modern addiction. If I could say that, you know, one of the biggest things that ails humanity right now is just an inability to find the answers within ourselves. And we are constantly, that's part of the reason why we have such a dysfunctional political system, is because we're constantly throwing mud at others when the solution is actually right here the whole time. And so I know that sounds like a very wishful statement. If every one of us had an ability to actually be more introspective, especially when we're triggered, rather than just first thing to do, like, let me pull out the guns or pull out my fists, and, you know, like this kind of aggressive nature to how we don't know how to deal with our own emotions or how to deal with our own thoughts. Like, no, actually, you could just take a breath, you know, and start to come back, or whatever the tactic might be. But, you know, coming back into ourselves, I think it's also very empowering, because what you realize is, oh, I'm not a victim to this situation.
Yeah.
I actually have agency and I have power. I don't have to, you know, be completely destroyed by anything that may be compromising my worldview or going against my, you know, what I think I want right now. So yeah, to me that struck a nerve, because so many, especially young people that I talk to, they want to know how to navigate conflict or how to navigate, you know, how to be happier, you know, how to be more at peace, you know, especially with the world, like this perception of the world being at war and everything is going to hell, et cetera, et cetera. Well, first take responsibility for yourself.
Yeah.
Meaning like sit with yourself and come to terms with your truth and find a way to be a better, kinder human. And I think, you know, somehow that it can't hurt, you know.
How about you, Caleb?
So, you know, how do I practice mindfulness? Well, it just starts with understanding, you know, that your mindset is important. You got to be mindful that your mindset is important, because so many times we're just so, you know, work oriented, or, you know, I got to go work out, I got to, you know, check my emails, all that kind of stuff. And we don't usually stop and think about how powerful our mind is and how much it's involved in so many different things. And I mean, it's just like everything in the outside world comes into your mind, and that's how you process everything. You know, I mean, even what you see is and colors and all that is all based on your mind. Yeah. And you know, so keeping that in mind is important. And then, you know, like a lot of you guys have been saying is about taking that time to yourself and examining yourself. And, you know, journaling is really great. You know, I try to get up in the morning before everybody wakes up, so I don't have any distractions, keep the phone far away from you.
Yeah.
You start looking at that, it's full of all the, you know, negative stuff, and you got to prepare yourself to take on all that stuff. And, you know, I start with prayer. I start with scripture reading. I start with, you know, self-examination, meditation, all that stuff, and just being quiet. And, I find 100% that it puts me in a better state of mind to deal with the chaos around me. So.
Definitely. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, thank you all so much for joining me today. Really great conversation. And I'm going to go set an alarm to do a meditation this afternoon. And I'm going to start writing some stuff down and being comfortable in solitude. So I'll keep you updated on how that journey goes for me. But thank you all so much. I'm very excited to see what 2024 has in store for each of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was fun to meet you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.